So I find myself back in a car again. I seem to be, giving sheer amount of cars these days. So just wanted to share another thought or two about the parsha, about the purpose of creation. Actually, I wanted to just try to delve into that for just a brief moment and also speak about the Eitz HaDaas. We begin with the Ramban, who opens with almost similar to a vidui on his opening interpretation to Chumash, paying homage, of course, to the great Rav of his day and age, which was Rav Shlomo Yitzchaki, we know as Rashi, and all of the great Mefarshim, including the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, all desire to have some space, some real estate space on the page together with the esteemed Rashi. So I just wanted to explain a little bit about Rashi. He had fasted 613 Ta'anis on his own in order to first start to develop an understanding of the Torah itself. So just to give everyone a context for how great Rashi was, this is not a Shakespeare type analysis where he's writing Romeo and Juliet and he's getting drunk 613 times. This is Rashi preparing himself in the most pure way before he developed an approach to explaining Chumash. So with that, we know that Bereishis bara Elokim Esa Shamayim ve'esa Aretz. We explained yesterday that there are seven words in that pasuk, and there are 28 letters corresponding to the days of the week and the relative days in a month. That the world was created in a sense in a state of teva, but we know that Klal Yisrael is lamala min ha-teva. Klal Yisrael is above teva. It's above nature in the sense that as we say, Hashem looked into the world, looked into the Torah, and created the world and understood. And the understanding there was that Klal Yisrael, there had to be some allegiance to the Torah itself in order for a world to be created. But when we translate the first pasuk alone, we seem to be a little bit, have different interpretations. In the beginning, Hashem created the heavens and earth. No, Hashem created the heavens and earth as part of the general form of creation. And as Rashi says, Bereishis, not in the way that we translate it as in the beginning, but rather Beis Reishis, that Bishvi Yisrael Shenik Reishis, because Klal Yisrael is considered to be the Reishis, and Reishis Tevuascha, Reishis Degancha. We talk about the first crop that we bring up to Yerushalayim, which we know anybody who plants anything in their backyard or in their home. When you finally see something sprouting forth, there's a great simcha. Wow, look at this tomato seed is now bearing fruit, and you can't wait to enjoy it. Unless, of course, you live where I live in New Jersey, where the day before you plan on taking, your tomatoes in, the deer come and eat all of the tomatoes, and anything else vegetation-wise that you are planting. So that just, it depends on where you live, of course. But the understanding is that there's a great joy to take something that is the first of its crop and bring it up to Yerushalayim. And that's what we say, B'nei Bechor Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks to us and says, you were my first child. I had a Torah. I went to all of the nations of the world as the Kedushas Levi brings down, whose Yahrzeit happens to be tonight. So it's always nice to mention his words on the day of his Yahrzeit. And so some have the custom of lighting a candle. He was a great defender of the Jewish people, and we really need as much a defense as we can in our day and age. And so he said that istako baraisa bari alma, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked into the world. I got a little sidetracked with the Kedushas Levi. No, he says that in Vezosa Bracha, he brings down that Hashem meiser lamo, Hashem turned from Seir, meaning Hashem went to Seir, which is Esav, and he asked them, "Do you want to accept the Torah?" And the understanding is that they, of course, they didn't want to because it says lo tirzach. You cannot murder. And we know that Esav is known as Achav Chatichya, that they will live and die by the sword. And in fact, if you look at the flag of Saudi Arabia, there's a sword on it. It's not just one, I think it's two. But this is emblematic of the children of Esav. And then, so the light shone forth from Mehar Paran, Mehar Seir. It went from Har Seir over to Klal Yisrael. And then it went, then Klal Yisrael, then Hashem went to Yishmael. And they too didn't want to accept it because it says that you should not be promiscuous or whatever it is, you should not commit adultery, whatever these things are, in terms of we know that in Mitzrayim there was more than one mace inside the home. So that really speaks to the fact that there was promiscuity within the land of Egypt. So they weren't interested in taking the Torah. So the light shone forth. So later on, when we see this light that's shining forth onto the Jewish people, and that's why it says later on in Shmos, by the Mak of Choshech, that we had this light is coming forth. It's coming forth from a place. Kosh Baruch Hu, of course, reserved a light in Arganuza, and he put it aside, Lasalova, for the tzaddikim that are sitting in Yoshim, Vachasayim, Barashayim, that we know that there's a divine light that's set aside for Olam Haba. That Olam Haba, says the Admar from Slanim, was actually brought down during the Mak of Choshech. But again, I'm going a little bit off the track. So let me get back on the track. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Shemesh and the sun and the moon, we look at the pasuk there, and it says Laosos Ulamoadim, in order for us to determine the months of the year and the Moadim that we will celebrate. So we know that every Chodesh, we're the ones who are going to bench Rosh Chodesh this Shabbos Mar Cheshvan. We're going to welcome in. It's a month that is absent any holidays. So we kind of feel a little bereft in the sense that we don't have the same enjoyment that we've had the past month. So we go into a state of withdrawal. But all of this creation was all for Klal Yisrael to make use in terms of our advancement of Torah, Avodah, and Yerushalayim. It's all about us taking the initiative to implement a better world in which we can, b'haftal reicha kamocha, to be friendly. We should be able to recognize each other with sefer panim yafos. There's a lot of different nekudos that I'm touching on, and I'm sorry because I'm not delving too deeply into any one of them. And simply because Bereishis is so powerful and so such a rich parsha in so many different contexts, I just want to close out with one thought that I was thinking about as I was driving down to Lower East Side tonight from New Jersey. And that is that we just finished celebrating Sukkot, and on Sukkot we had an Esrog, which is the core, together with the Lulav, Adasim, and Aravos. We know that when Hashem created Adam and Chava, and they were in Gan Eden, they only had one commandment, and that was Mikol Eitz Hagan Hazeh Tochal, Rak Eitz Hazeh Lo Tochal. You can eat anything you want, you can do anything you wish, but just this particular tree, do not touch this tree. And the question is, Chazal debate, what was this forbidden fruit? What exactly was it? And there's different answers. Some actually say it's a gefen, it was a grape. Some say it was an olive. Some say it was an esrog. And now what do we do with the fact that we had all those things happen? Like how do we reconcile? So we take the esrog and we turn it into the core essence of a bracha that resembles the heart. Remember, the esrog resembles the heart. Ki yetzer lev ha'adam ra min ha'rav, that the lev of an individual, Hashem says, is evil from the beginning of get-go. Like if you leave man to his natural tendencies, it's not a pretty world. And we see some of that coming out today about how we're just, Hashem says, you know, I need to create the world. And Amalachim is saying, why? Don't you see? They're just going to destroy the world. Why would you bother creating a world? Well, if I have a Torah in the world, imagine a world without a Torah. Imagine a world without any mora hora, a guiding light for the rest of the world, for us to be a beacon of light onto the nations. What would the world really look like? It would be chaos. As my daughter was asking me today, she's like, well, you know, it would be pagan-filled rituals. And I was like, wow, do you know what pagan means? And she said, no. And then I remembered there was a movie, I don't know if you remember this, 1987, Spies Like Us. I think that it was Dan Aykroyd and Chevy Chase, and they came across some scene where there was some kind of pagan ritual. And I think that they were talking to each other. And they said, what is this pagan business? And the answer was that pagan stands for people against goodness and normalcy. So I don't know if that really means what it means, but it definitely was, an interesting part of the movie. But anyway, I digress, of course. So we take the esrog, which was what we believe to be the Eitz Hadas, and we turn it into something that we use as a bracha. We take the gefen, that we believe may have been the Eitz Hadas, and we turned it into Bori Pri HaGefen. We say that every Friday night And we, the Gemara in Brachos brings down that Geffen is the highest level bracha we can give to any fruit. There's orange juice. There's other types of juices, mistapuzim. There's a lot of different juices out there, but Geffen is the highest level bracha. And then an olive. What do we do with an olive? We take an olive and we take shemen zayis zach. We turn it into something that we light the menorah with, and we beautify our kindling of the flame with refined oil. So there, are, what I'm trying to explain here is that whatever shortcomings we had, we try to take those instances and turn them into something positive. We had 10 people that spoke, the spies that spoke poorly about the land of Israel. What do we do with 10? We make a minyan and we say, we take those 10 people and we turn them into something positive. And so much so, all of the rituals, we have fish on Friday night because we should be as fruitful as fish. That, like Ben Poras Yosef, Ben Poras Aliyayin, Yosef was someone who was exempt or exempted himself from Ayin Hara. So that's the same message that we give to our children, that we give to the table, that we should also have that same bracha, that we should be successful in all our endeavors, and we should be able to be fruitful and multiply and whatever it is that we put our hearts and minds toward. And so every instance of where we saw a shortcoming, Klal Yisrael, Chazal in particular, found a way for us to make things right. And if you look through Sefer Bereishis, Rashi tells us right from the get-go that there are two Beis Reishis. There are two Torahs, right? There's a Torah Shebiktav and Torah Shebaal Peh. And we know that if we just stuck to the Torah Shebiktav without Torah Shebaal Peh, without the Medrash Agada, there's no way we can study Sefer Bereishis. So therefore, I ask everyone to fill the cup. My message is that when you learn Sefer Bereishis, you might go deep, you might go a little bit, you know, on the high level. And it's so deep that even if you could explain it to a child and they would understand, because that's how profoundly deep it is, that even if you just scratch the surface, you're still communicating a message. So whether it is that you go high or low, or you go very deep or very shallow, my message is to recognize that it's not pshat alone that will help you get through Sefer Bereishis. We need a little bit of pardes, which is paradise. We need a little bit of pshat. We need remez, which are allegories. We need drash, which are homiletic explanations. And of course, we need sod, which are the deeper secrets. And through the course of this next cycle, we hope to touch upon them. Every rav that's part of sheer enjoyment touches upon it. And so therefore, fill the glass and let the cup runneth over with chidushim and divrei Torah. And don't limit yourself to just pshat alone. Rashi himself at the beginning of the parsha in Sefer Bereishis tells you, he refers you to a drash. He says that there's more to this Bereishis word that we seem to just simply say in the beginning. He says, Beis Reishis, you know, Bishul Yisrael Shnik Reishis, because of Klal Yisrael and because of the Torah that we have. It's not just Torah Shebiktav, it's Torah Shebaal Peh, etc. And the continuum of our discussion continues to develop and reach new places. Give everyone that bracha that this year should be the Mazel Dika year that we're hoping for, that this year should bring us the Refuos and Yeshuas that we daven for, and that this year should, God willing, very soon should bring home those that are in need to return safely to their homes. All of our wonderful and beloved Chayalim and Chayalot, all of them, we're davening for them and we're praying for them that there should be success, and that there should be only mazel and bracha within Klal Yisrael. Thank you so much for joining and have a great night.
By the way, the movie was Dragnet.
Oh, Dragnet. Yes. Thank you.
Dragnet. Something didn't sound right when you said what it stood for. I'm like, wait, why does that sound familiar? And then it was Dragnet.
How do you thank remember you, the thank you.
I love that movie. That was great.
People against goodness and normalcy.
Normalcy, not normalcy.
That was normalcy.
Normalcy. You see, strange things stuck in my head since 7th grade. It's still there.